Thank you, Dr. Kolpak, for the introduction, and thank you to all of you for the opportunity to present this afternoon. So as my colleague Lindsay Hoffman just discussed moments ago, low temperature injury to turf grass is a common problem faced by turf grass practitioners, particularly in northern regions. Prior research has established the fact that perennial ryegrass is among the most susceptible cool season species to direct low temperature injury. This, of course, is an important problem because perennial ryegrass is among our most widely utilized and valuable cool season turf grasses. The Ebden Lab at the University of Massachusetts a few years ago did some research with perennial ryegrass and low temperature and observed that top performing perennial ryegrass genotypes average lethal killing temperatures 3.5 degrees Celsius lower than bottom performing genotypes. And these selections and this top performing versus bottom performing criteria were developed based on turf quality data from the NTEP test site at Orono, Maine, which is the northernmost and coldest NTEP test site in New England. So what this tells us is that genetic diversity among perennial ryegrass genotypes is an important consideration in managing low temperature sensitivity in this species. So when we began to develop this study, we started to think about practical approaches to this problem of perennial ryegrass low temperature sensitivity. In particular, we were interested in goal-oriented management practices that might have the potential to improve the cold hardiness of perennial ryegrass at the species and the genotype level. And we were interested in irrigation in particular, and in reviewing the literature, we discovered that cold hardiness research in response to irrigation is somewhat limited. Traditional recommendations for most turf grass management scenarios call for deep, infrequent irrigation to conserve water and to promote maximum turf grass drought tolerance. What wilt-based irrigation does is it builds on this concept by incorporating a simple timing variable. In scheduling turf grass irrigation at the earliest onset of moisture stress, typically indicated by leaf fold and roll. So Chen and Fry observed that over time, wilt-based irrigation increased turf grass drought tolerance by osmotic adjustment, particularly the lowering of leaf water and osmotic potentials through the accumulation of osmotically active solutes, helping the plants to maintain favorable water relations throughout stress periods. And what was interesting to us is that this accumulation of osmoticum, again, osmotic adjustment, also has implications for cold tolerance. And accordingly, this relationship has been observed in the relationship between drought stress and improved cold hardiness has been observed with several turf grass species, and in at least two studies in particular with perennial ryegrass. However, in the imposition of drought stress to plant material, these studies did not utilize practical approaches such as wilt-based irrigation. I wanted to touch briefly on the concept of C13 discrimination. C13 discrimination, in essence, is that C3 plants, like perennial ryegrass, discriminate against the heavier C13 isotope in favor of the lighter C12 isotope during carboxylation. And the level of this discrimination has been already shown to be a useful predictor of parameters including water use efficiency, drought resistance, ET, and salinity tolerance, but the relevance of C13 discrimination to cold hardiness has not been established in turf grasses. So our goals in this study were to first compare the cold hardiness of 6 perennial ryegrass genotypes in relation to 2 irrigation levels, both well-watered and wilt-based irrigation, and to compare the genetic diversity between top-performing and bottom-performing perennial ryegrass genotypes. So we began by selecting 6 cultivars of perennial ryegrass for study, 3 top-performing and 3 bottom-performing genotypes. According to the methods previously outlined by Ebden, we utilized turf grass quality data from, again, the Orono, Maine location, which is the coldest and northernmost NTEP test site. These selections were seeded to weighing lysimeters in the fall of 2006 and 2007 and placed in a semi-controlled greenhouse environment for an 8-month establishment period. Following establishment, the irrigation treatments were initiated and continued for 68 days. We had a well-watered treatment, which consisted of replacement of 100% of ET every 4 days, and we had a wilt-based treatment, which consisted of replacement of 100% of ET following a dry-down period sufficient to initiate mild moisture stress indicated by 50% leaf fold and roll in subject plant material. And the numbers here really show the contrast between the two treatments. We had 17 irrigation events in both years associated with the well water treatment, and an average of 7.3 irrigation events in 07 and 6.4 irrigation events in 08 associated with the wilt-based treatment. And again, hopefully this photograph can also illustrate the differences between the two treatments. On your left, there's a wilt-based lysimeter. The plant material in this photo is experiencing mild moisture stress indicated by 50% leaf fold and roll. This is the criteria that we used as a signal for the application of irrigation in the wilt-based treatment. This can be compared with the well water treatment. The plant material in the lysimeter on the right is at full turgor in this photograph. So in the final days of the irrigation treatment phase of the study, we conducted sampling, and the following measurements were recorded: yield as leaf biomass accumulated above a 5 centimeter mowing height over a 4-day period. We also measured evapotranspiration as water loss over the same 4-day period. And from these parameters, we calculated water use efficiency as yield to ET ratio expressed in milligrams per milliliter per day. We also measured shoot water content as fresh weight of clippings minus dry weight divided by fresh weight and expressed as a percentage. Following sampling, plant material was destructively harvested and cold hardiness was assessed via LT50 determination. In the application of freeze stress to all plant material, we had a non-frozen control temperature plus 5 Celsius and 7 freeze stress temperatures ranging from minus 1 down to minus 13 Celsius. Following the application of freeze stress treatment, there was a 3-week recovery period in the greenhouse, after which survival was assessed visually, and LT50 values were determined mathematically by fitting a 4-parameter sigmoid curve to the data. Finally, isotopic analysis of leaf clippings collected during the sampling period at the end of the irrigation treatment phase was conducted at the University of Utah. Stable carbon isotope composition was determined by the lab according to this expression, which relates the isotopic ratio of each sample to that of the currently accepted standard. And from those values, we were able to derive carbon isotope discrimination according to this expression, which relates the stable isotopic composition of the plant material to that of the source air in the greenhouse. So for some results, this first table, these are the irrigation main effect means, or the overall effect of the well-watered and wilt-based treatment averaged across the genotypes that we looked at in this study. So focusing first on the right-hand portion of the table, you'll note that C13 discrimination was significantly lower in response to wilt-based treatment in both years of study. In 2007, you had no variation at the whole plant level according to yield, water use efficiency, or shoot water content. So in that year, C13 discrimination was an indicator of stress not otherwise apparent at the whole plant level. So C13 discrimination in this case indicating higher incidence of stomatoconductance and greater cumulative stress as a result of wilt-based irrigation treatment. We did see significant reductions in the whole plant parameters in response to wilt-based irrigation when compared with well water treatment in 2008. No significant variation in cold hardiness in response to differential irrigation in 2007. A trend towards significantly greater cold hardiness under wilt-based irrigation, significant at the 10% level, was observed in 2008, again, according to irrigation main effect. Irrigation and genotype did interact significantly in both years to affect cold hardiness. On the left-hand side of the figure, these are the top performers, and from looking at the figure, you can see that the top-performing genotypes displayed improved cold hardiness in response to wilt-based irrigation when compared with well-water treatment in both years of study. A similar effect was not observed among the bottom performing genotypes. There was no significant variation in cold hardiness among the bottom performers due to differential irrigation treatment in either year. This table shows the irrigation treatment means within the top performing genotypes. As we saw in the previous figure, we had enhanced cold hardiness under wilt-based irrigation for the top-performing genotypes in both years of study. In 07, this was associated with significantly lower carbon isotope discrimination in response to wilt-based treatment. No variation due to differential irrigation at the whole plant level. In 2008, significantly greater cold hardiness was associated with lower plant parameters, including yield, water use efficiency, and shoot water content in response to wilt-based irrigation, and only an insignificant trend towards lower C13 discrimination under wilt-based irrigation in that year. To touch on the responses of some of the individual genotypes in the study, the cold hardiness of genotype Sunkist, which was a top performer, was enhanced by wilt-based irrigation in comparison to the well water treatment in both years of study. This table shows the irrigation means within Sunkist. And just by taking a cursory look at this table, you can see how consistently Sunkist responded to the treatments over the course of the entire experiment. We had significantly lower C13 discrimination in response to wilt-based treatment in both years of study. And this was associated with significantly greater cold hardiness in Sunkist in both years of study. You'll also note that there was no significant variation due to differential irrigation in the whole plant parameters for Sunkist in either year of study, which is consistent with what we saw in some years according to the irrigation main effect. There was, of course, some variation among the genotypes in the response to wilt-based irrigation. The cold hardiness of WVPB RD2, which was a bottom performing genotype, was typically inhibited by wilt-based irrigation in comparison to well water treatment. This effect was, in fact, significant at the 0.05 level in 2007. Okay, so significant loss in cold hardiness under wilt-based irrigation for WVPB RD2. So these are the irrigation treatment means for the bottom performers. And if we look at the whole plant parameters and C13 discrimination, you see some responses that are very similar to the responses observed for the top performing genotypes. Significantly lower C13 discrimination in response to wilt-based irrigation in both years of study. No variation among the whole plant parameters in 2007. Significantly lower whole plant parameters in response to wilt-based irrigation in 2008. Nevertheless, no significant variation in cold hardiness observed in either year on average for the bottom performing genotypes. So what this tells us is that C13 discrimination, or I should say variation in C13 discrimination, or whole plant characteristics, is not necessarily a universal predictor for cold hardiness in perennial ryegrass subject to wilt-based irrigation. So to conclude, our data suggests that repeated exposure to mild stress, such as that which occurs with a wilt-based irrigation regimen, has the potential to increase cold hardiness. The effects are dependent on genotype, as illustrated by significant main effect interactions between genotype and irrigation treatment in both years of study, and also the stark differences between Sunkist, which was the top performer, and WVPB RD2, which was a bottom performer. C13 discrimination, we found, was consistently lower in both years in response to wilt-based irrigation, again, indicating increased incidence of stomatal closure and a greater cumulative level of stress. In some years, greater cold hardiness related to lower yield, lower water use efficiency, lower shoot water content, and lower C13 discrimination in response to wilt-based irrigation. And finally, greater osmotic adjustment has been proposed as a potential mechanism for these relationships between drought stress and cold hardiness, but further research, particularly at the physiological level, is needed to explore this potential relationship. So with that, I'll be happy to take any questions. Yes?
So you exposed these plants to wilt-based irrigation for 68 days, is that right?
Correct.
And then you did the freezing test immediately after that?
That's correct.
So what would you think would be the length of period that you would still expect to maybe see some cold hardiness associated with that? I mean, is it a day, is it a week, is it a month?
You mean in the absence of continuation of the wilt-based treatment? I would say, you know, again, it would be hard to say. It would be hard to say how long that effect might last. I mean, again, we're talking about changes. I mean, you saw the changes at the physiological level, the response in C13 discrimination, which is a physiological measurement in response to wilt-based irrigation. And I would say that, you know, again, with wilt-based irrigation, we're talking about mild moisture stress. And we're not talking about, you know, drastic changes, acute changes that occur as, you know, from a single event. We're talking about a cumulative changes that occur as a result of successive mild wilt-based irrigation events. So I would hypothesize that, you know, that it takes a while for these changes to take place. I would imagine it probably takes a while for them to, you know, to go away as well. That would be my interpretation.
Any other questions? We'll have to wait for the break. Thank you very much.
Thanks.